Many times in life, there are those days when some days you are the windshield and some days you are the bug. Well, around 9:33 this morning, we had a power outage here on the campus at Tanglewood, and our broadcast, as well as most of this facility and much of the Berkshires, or at least in the Lenox region, were without power, and West Stockbridge, and continue to be without power. So we are on a generator right now, and we thank the incredible, our engineering team, Adam Claremont, of course, and all of the incredible electrical folks at Tanglewood who came running and have a generator and trucks parked outside so that we could broadcast. The reason we're doing this and there was such importance is because, well, we have the hottest artist on the classical musical planet here on the program, and by God, you have to hear him. 31-year-old Lang Lang has played sold-out recitals and concerts in every major city in the world and is the first Chinese pianist to be engaged by the Vienna Philharmonic, the Berlin Philharmonic, and all the top American orchestras.
And testimony to his success, Lang Lang appeared in the 2009 Time 100, Time Magazine's annual list of the 100 most influential people in the world. In 2008, over 4 billion people viewed Lang Lang's performance in Beijing's opening ceremonies for the Olympic Games, where he is seen as the symbol of the youth and future of China.
4 billion people. Thank God they didn't have a power outage. The superstar pianist Lang Lang joins the BSO and maestro Charles Dutoit, who was supposed to be on our program but was here, and we had a lovely conversation with him. You just didn't get to hear it because I didn't have any power. And it's a great pleasure. He's going to be the soloist tomorrow night, Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 1 at 8:30 in the Shed, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Lang Lang to the roundtable. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
It's a pleasure. So the last 12, 15 years of your life have been a whirlwind?
Yeah, I would say pretty challenging, and I became a professional world traveler, that's for sure. And I think the musical journey has been for me, it's very fortunate to have a great career and good friends around the world. But I must say, Tanglewood is a very unique place. In 96, I just turned 14, and I was came to America for the first time for a summer camp. And I stayed in New England area. And actually, we came by school bus. I still see the school bus today. And we came from a bunch of friends and to see Andrew Watts played with BSO at Tanglewood. And I never forgot that in 96. And now coming back for the third time to perform. And the last time was actually 10 years ago. So I'm very, very happy to be back.
When did you start to play the piano?
I was 2.5.
2.5?
Yes.
Whoa. Did they get you a little piano or something?
No, I had a like, upright piano at home.
Yeah.
But I was a huge fan of cartoons. And certainly that time for me, my favorite was Tom and Jerry. Mm. And they were playing the Hungarian Rhapsody by Liszt. I didn't know who Liszt was, but I certainly enjoy Tom's tuxedo and the way he moves his finger. It's almost like a spaghetti way.
So, did you pick up the Liszt yourself?
Yeah, in a very simple version, obviously, you know. And but later I learned the piece.
Did your folks know that they had somebody special on their hands?
Yeah, I mean, it looked somehow. It's kind of a copy of Vladimir Horowitz a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But nobody can move that fast.
Yeah. I mean, did you know, like, there was a point in your life that you realized, okay, I'm further along than most people are at this point?
I actually grew up in a very musical environment that all my neighbors are playing music, and mostly piano and violin. I never thought that I'm really, you know, exceptional, but I just thought, oh, I should keep up with those guys first. And then gradually I enjoyed play on the stage, and I felt very very inspiring when I'm performing on stage. And then I think my teachers and my parents thought this is a good condition that maybe I should keep going as a professional pianist.
Were your parents musical?
Yeah, my father plays Chinese violin, erhu. And you know,
erhu.
Erhu is like chopstick, which has two strings.
this is a great story. I mean, it's so wonderful.
At what point, so what is your education then? Because then you go from just being, quote unquote, a
yes.
typical kid to being a musical child, and obviously that incredible talent that you have is honed and worked on.
In the beginning, it was not easy because I live in Shenyang, which is in northeast China, and in order to become more internationally better environment to study, we moved to Beijing when I was 9 years old. In the beginning, it was very difficult. We rented the cheapest area, and my teacher didn't like me, so she fired me.
Fired.
Yes. They can do that? I thought you had to fire the teacher. Now they can fire the student?
I think you can do it both ways.
Right? All right.
But for sure, the teacher fired me, that's for sure.
Can you imagine that teacher, Joe, sitting there right now with the hottest property in the world and saying, I did what?
A scarlet letter for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, but I already forgave her because it's such a long time ago.
Have you spoken to her since she fired you?
Yeah, because I mean, she's the professor in the conservatory, so every exam I need to do, I need to face her. You know, she's sitting there, and I need to take a bow every time. So,
do you like look at your smartphone and say, as you're ready to go before 4 billion people at the Olympics, let me call her up and just say hi. So just check in and see how she's doing. Okay. You're coming here. Tomorrow night you'll be with Maestro Charles Dutoit and Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 1. What does that piece mean to you?
It's one of the most beautiful and most emotional Beethoven concertos that he was very young when he wrote the piece, much younger than me today. I think he was in the very, very early stage of his career. So in a way, everything is very positive. You know, you really feel Beethoven is totally open toward to his brilliant future. Unlike a lot of the work later he wrote.
Depressing.
Yes, so this one is energy, freshness, and a lot of folk dance he put it in. It's just everything, every time I perform this piece, it gives me a very positive energy. The second movement is just so, even though it's in a classic period of time, but he already have this type of early romantic feel into it.
So when you play the concerto with various conductors,
yes,
all of us who are sitting out in the audience want to know, I'm sure, do you follow the conductor? Does the conductor follow you? How does that work?
With Maestro Dutoit, I have a big respect for him, and you know, he knows pianist inside out. You know, he's incredible. You know, and we actually played a few other Beethoven concertos, like No. 2 and No. 4 before, but this is actually first time to play No. 1. And we had a rehearsal yesterday, he was very supportive, and we talked very openly about a few bars, what I'm trying to do, what kind of the rubato we're taking, and what kind of contrast we're looking into, and the structure of the piece and basic tempos.
Mm.
But then obviously in the concert you are doing a lot of things on stage in that moment, Maestro Dutoit is always very, very supportive. But sometimes, you know, you also face some conductors who has a very, very, very strong opinion about pieces, and sometimes someone need to have a bit of sacrifice. Sometimes.
Yes. You know, I find it interesting. Just give me a sense of the process. So, you and Maestro Dutoit, you had a rehearsal yesterday.
Yes.
Do you talk beforehand? I mean, is there a discussion that takes place of how you're going to do it before you actually go and do it, or is it immersion and then we'll discuss it as we go?
With Maestro Dutoit, because we know each other. I played audition for him when I was a teenager. So we actually know each other for a long time. So we don't actually need to have a more discussion, you know, than music making.
Can I? That's so fascinating. Can I just go into that for a second?
Sure.
You played this audition for him. What happened?
It was still when I was studying at Curtis in Philadelphia. I think I was like 16 or 17. So I played this audition for him. And I think that concert he was actually playing with Martha Argerich, one of my piano favorite pianists in the world. You know? And so I went to listen to the rehearsal. I think she played, Beethoven number 2. And I was so, you know, after the rehearsal, I was so inspired by her. And then the audition begins, and I play some Haydn Sonata and Brahms Intermezzi. And he was very, very happy to hear me playing, and he said that he will try to find some gigs for me in the future. So that what happened.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
The other thing you mentioned that I think is fascinating is when you are on stage, and as you say, the performance can change things, because there is that. I mean, let us not forget that, yes, the incredible artistry and an incredible musician, but there is that you are performing as well. I mean, there is that aspect to it, which is different than when you would be rehearsing.
Absolutely. I mean, in rehearsals, you're trying to get everything, what you think, right to the scores. So you're very precise on what Beethoven wrote, particularly in Beethoven. He's very precise on what he wants. So in a way that you kind of get an idea of what the piece supposed to be, you know. I mean, of course, in our mind, you know, because we never really know exactly what he wants, because he's a human being. Even though he's a great genius, he changed things, you know, also. So in a way that in concert, you shouldn't totally stuck only in the score. So in concert, you need to have a more imagination space, you need to bring all those characters that you think is fit into the piece, into the work. And so when you perform, you are feeling like a multimedia screens instead of only the scores. Mm-hmm. So in that way, you have more dimensions to look into it. And sometimes really interesting, you know, even though when you're focused, you don't really see the audience, but sometimes some audience, you kind of wear them if it's a really beautiful girl or something, you know, like what Arthur Rubinstein said, you know, it gave him some inspiration. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, in the first row, you know, people have very heavy perfumes, you know, and you're playing and you smell, this is nice. Let's have some taste of that.
So what if the audience?
Yes,
what
just
the
a taste.
What if the audience doesn't do what they're supposed to? What if they clap between movements or something of that kind? I mean, does it throw you off, or do you just roll with a punch?
I think the worst thing is obviously, you know, the telephone rings, you know, in the middle of the most beautiful slow movement. Somebody's like, "Hello," or somebody crying. But I don't think I should stop if it's not so bad, you know, because otherwise, you know, if you stop something, that's even worse, because everything need to play from the beginning. But if there's a fire alarm, of course, we need to all go out and come back when, you know.
If the lights go out.
Yeah, the
for
lights
example.
Go out.
The light go out, actually, I like to keep playing.
Yeah, yeah.
If I memorize the piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
And this one you've got memorized, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why it's better memorized. So like to, you know, like today, this morning, when you have a power off, you can still talk.
That's right. We Alan and I have the script memorized. We don't have.
Yeah. You guys are amazing. We're still talking with the new technology.
That's right. Is Beethoven the greatest composer ever?
I would say Mozart. Yeah, I would say that. I mean, obviously, you know,
interesting.
It's hard for me to say because
Steel Cage Death Match.
But, I think Mozart is the most talented person for musicians. I believe.
Interesting.
The new CD is Chopin.
Chopin is great too, but maybe if you're talking about
the greatest
genius, right?
So yeah.
Then,
oh my goodness!
The light is on. So seems like this is the right answer.
Yeah, that's absolutely the right answer.
But we love Beethoven too, you know.
Yeah. So yeah.
And on that note, we have to unfortunately say goodbye. But Lang Lang joins the BSO and Maestro Charles Dutoit, a soloist in Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 1 tomorrow night at 8:30 in the Shed. For the full schedule, you can go to tanglewood.org. Lang Lang, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
You are terrific.
A delight. Thank you. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.